Hello and welcome to the 20th Manx Footy Pod of the 2018-19 season. Today, myself and Dave.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by Alamant Referee Society's Vice President, Kevin Maitland. Welcome, Kevin, to Podcast HQ. Great to finally have you in. Especially great when you bring a goodie bag of confectionery with you, Dave. Yes. We've been spoilt, as the Ferrero Rocher man would say.
Yeah, we actually have. There's loads of stuff there. I don't think Frank Stenhouse will be too happy.
He's definitely not going to be happy, so please don't be passing on that information.
I bought the clubs, but you brought clubs. Chunky kick. Oh, there's a flipping selection. It's like a selection box, isn't it?
It is. Is this one from your stocking filler at Christmas?
Absolutely.
We'll check the dates before we get into it. Okay, we haven't just got you in to discuss confectionery, of course. We've got you in today to discuss a big issue, really, in Manx football next season, the introduction of sin bins. Yeah. Now, obviously, I played rugby, so sin bins is nothing new to me, but to football it's going to be a bit of a culture shock, isn't it?
Yeah, I totally agree, and it's probably worth just touching on the history of this, because I think a lot of people will go, oh, crikey, he's another thing, and they've just come up with, and we're going to throw it in next season to see if we can confuse them even more. that's really genuinely not happened that way. It's actually been going for 2 years.
Yep.
And the initial trial period was 31 actual leagues took part in it. And it was quite successful. So the Football Association, that's the English Football Association, said, okay, quite like the way it's gone. However, we don't want to throw everybody into that boat. Let's get another 60-plus leagues on board and try it for the next season, which is obviously the current season that we're in. So that's what they've done. And obviously the number of matches they covered now is over 150,000, as an example. So the actual data that they're getting from this is absolutely spot on. So, you know, I just want to allay the fear straight away that it's somebody who's woke up one morning and said, right, let's do this. It really has been tried and tested in England. And to be fair, the Isle of Man did have a chance to take part in that trial. We opted out, and I get that. I think that was the right decision to make. But it's now come to the stage that once this season ends, obviously the trials are complete, and we'll have even more data, but we've got enough data there, quite honestly, as it stands already. But for next season, so that's from the 2018-19-20 season.
Yeah. Scary when you put it like that.
Very, very scary, because that means I've actually been about 40 years in this game, which is really scary. That then means that it is compulsory, it's mandatory. Yeah. So there is no all grassroots football in England, Isle of Man, Channel Isles, will have the sin bin, as it's currently called, but it's temporary dismissal. It is going to be enforced. So do you think, from our local point of view, when we start the pre-season friendlies for next season, they're enforced straight from there?
So I think I read some of the English FA literature around this, and it's below step 7, isn't it? So that's the level we're at, isn't it?
Absolutely right. I mean, it's obviously grassroots football step 7. What I can tell you, because I don't know if you've picked it up yet, what's just been announced from the English FA, they've also got it into step 5 and 6 now.
Right.
Now, we knew that was on the horizon. Yeah. But it had to go through various committees in the UK. And I think it was yesterday or the day before, just seen a little note from them to say it will be implemented at 5 and 6. So at the moment, that's the highest it's going to go, you know, because people are turning around and saying, well, it should be in the professional game, etc. At this moment in time, there is no intention to bring it in the professional game.
So 5 and 6, just to give everyone a bit of a flavour, that's the bottom end of the Euro stick.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's not disstanding non-league football.
Yes.
So the whole idea around it is basically to tackle dissent in football, isn't it? And so how do you think this is going to be to manage when it actually is implemented?
Okay. I think if you look at it, dissent is probably one of the biggest issues in any sphere of football. Certainly locally, I think it is. I mean, again, without boring people with stats, and I think the Isle of Man follows totally in this, they reckon that 25% of all cautions are for dissent. Now, do you think of all the field of cautions you could possibly get, 25% is a huge amount. Yeah. So if you can actually attack your biggest problem, that makes total sense to me, because the actual, when they came up with this, they didn't say, we want you to hit dissent. They actually the international board said, you decide what area you want to use this for. So obviously the English Football Association said, well, this is a bit of a no-brainer here, really, because dissent is the obvious. I mean, and it ties a little bit in if you think about the respect, because that's now been going for several years. So again, it will actually help in that respect. And what it isn't, and again, you know, players immediately turn around and go, oh, crikey, it's just another money-making exercise. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is not the case whatsoever. Referees, for example, turn around and say, oh, this is yet another thing we've got to do. And on paper, you go, well, actually, yes, it is. And hopefully I'll talk about later how what the process will be. It actually will not be that onerous. But it's like anything, and I don't know if you guys are the same, when we have change, we immediately go, absolutely no way.
That's a max mentality. Yes, yeah.
You just hit the Max Grabbers in the head there. So let's talk about dissent, though, because, you know, to the layperson, what is that? Is it just back chat? Is it swearing? What falls into that sphere?
Yeah, very, very interesting, because I actually did there's actually, I mean, I have to do a presentation, and there is a specific slide on dissent, because as strange as it may sound, people actually can sometimes get what dissent is wrong.
Yeah, because it's quite a broad term, isn't it?
And I think you mentioned it, Andy, as several people do, swearing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, dissent is not swearing. Mm. And remember, dissent is only a yellow card.
Right.
Swearing is a red card.
Should be a red, yeah.
Yeah, so immediately, you know, people go, oh, okay. So actually, if I swear at you, that's not dissent.
No,
that
could be worse.
Technically, is a red card event. Yeah. Okay, and it obviously doesn't fall into that category. So dissent is, as you rightly say, it could be back chat. You know, I could give a decision which you say you disagree with. And you say, no, I think, Mr. Maitland, you've got that terribly wrong, or words to that effect.
Yeah.
And I may not like that, and that's a form of dissent. You may also, by action, because you may go, oh, fantastic decision.
Yeah.
And you're just dissenting to me again. So there are various forms of dissent that you can have. And let's face it, probably the most common one would be the verbal.
Yeah.
Let's be quite honest. But there are other forms, as I say, you know, an action can do that.
So let's say Dave is taking an umbrage with one of your decisions.
Yes.
I'd never do that. Especially when you bring chocolate in.
He questions the decision. You say, right, in my mind, that's my mind, that's dissent.
Yes.
You produce a yellow card.
Correct.
And he is then sent from the pitch for 10 minutes, is it?
That's right. So let's go through the process, just as you said. So Dave has questioned one of my decisions. From a referee's point of view, now, he's got to be able to control the 10 minutes. So let's face it, on the Isle of Man, we're not really going to have a luxury of assistance on our games, okay? That's the sad fact of life as it is at the moment. So it's the referee who will be in full control of this. So I say to Dave, right, name please, and Dave will kindly furnish me with his name, David Norton, and I'll go, look at my watch and go, 21 minutes played. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I know 21 minutes played against David's name.
Amazing, I lasted 21 minutes in a match.
Yes, I think I'd gone deaf for the first 20. And then I will show him the yellow card, and David then has to leave the field to play. Now, again, let's get rid of this myth totally away. There is not going to be a specially designed bin set up for players to have to go and stand in a corner like on a naughty step, you know, and bury their head in shame.
Yeah.
That's not the point of this whatsoever. This is just being dismissed for a period of 10 minutes. They will be asked to go into where the current management team is, so if there's a technical area within that technical area. And obviously the referee then knows that Dave has left on 21 minutes. And he can carry on with the game. Just to quickly pick up about the colour of the card was an interesting one, because at the moment, definitely still yellow. But the English FA have asked, can we not produce a different coloured card for these? So that's been asked, the question's been asked, but there's been no answer to that question at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the one that they mentioned specifically is a blue, just as an aside. So Dave now is over in the technical area, and obviously
Stewing,
you know, and he's still pretty miffed because I've set him over there.
That's just my natural look.
What apparently is happening, okay, and again, this is only because on the feedback that I've seen on these, is that you've got quite an irate manager over there saying, Do you realise, Dave, you're now reduced us to 10 men,
yeah,
and subsequently we may lose a goal or two, yeah, in this period of time that you're sitting over here,
yeah,
because you couldn't keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Yeah? So the point I'm getting at there is that actually clubs are managing this themselves,
yeah,
or partly,
yeah,
themselves, because, yeah, obviously now they've got a situation here for 10 minutes, and it's a minimum 10 minutes, because let's face it, you know, my game's going on now, I may have an injury for,
yeah,
2 minutes. My watch has stopped. So Dave technically could be off for however long.
Yeah.
You know, it could be actually 15 minutes by the time I've got everything, you know. But it's only played 10 active,
yeah,
minutes, but it's actually 15. He's physically been off the,
yeah,
off the field of play. Now, I believe he's getting a bit cold by the looks of him, although he's been out there that long. So there is nothing stopping Dave warming up, doing exercises or anything like that. You know, you're not confined and sitting in that space. And that's the point, I think, is important. You know, you can still, you need to keep warm. You need to be able, when you get the call back on, that I can come back on and I'm raring to go. Not, heaven forbid, he comes on running on and he pulls a muscle. That, I mean, what would that be about?
I pull a muscle just sitting here and watching the
So I then, when on my watch, I'm obviously, and let's say people are saying, oh, the referees, they'll lose track of time because they're doing other things. I accept that they are doing other things, but I can assure you, if you're the manager sitting on there, you'll know exactly what time Dave came off. And you'll be politely requesting from the sideline, have you checked your watch yet, referee? Are we getting close to it? And I don't have to wait for a stoppage. What I do need to be careful of is that I don't set Dave up for a goal scoring opportunity,
exactly,
by calling. I have to be sensible about where play is to bring him on. But again, doesn't have to be a stoppage, because I can say, you know, right, come on then, Dave, come on, the ball's down the other end, let's go.
Just out of curiosity, what's the rule if, like, there's a player in the sin bin,
yep,
and he shows a bit of dissent again?
Yep.
Or something. Would that be would that automatically be upgraded to a red card, or what's the sort of?
So if it's another dissent action,
yeah,
yeah, you're not going to take any further part in the game, okay?
Yeah.
And you're obviously out of action,
yeah,
for another 10 minutes. You can't be replaced in that situation.
Okay. Right.
There are a number, and we probably won't get time to go through them here, there are a number of different scenarios which give you different situations. In that one that you've thrown at me there, you would have to, you know, face your next 10-minute stint, and then after your 10 minutes were up on that one, you obviously take no further part in the game.
But you can be substituted then.
You couldn't be because of your you've done it while you're already in the sin bin.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. Yeah.
So, two things then. So, Dave comes back on the pitch.
Yep.
He's a bit fired up because he doesn't think he's said done anything particularly wrong.
No.
And maybe again because he's a bit cold. He goes into the next challenge a bit late and a yellow card.
A yellow card. So Dave this time has created. Let's. Yeah, it'd be a tackle, wouldn't it? It would definitely be a tackle. Look at him. You can tell. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A little trip on him there, which warrants
a
reckless challenge. So it warrants a yellow card. So we've got no issue. I mean, Dave has already served his 10-minute sin bin.
So that's then.
That's gone.
Yeah.
That's gone for the point of this yellow card.
Yeah.
So I think probably the next question you're going to have, well, okay, so you have to show another yellow card.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
You do have to show another yellow card. So it's just a straightforward, sorry, Dave, but you know that's a little bit late.
Yeah.
And I'm cautioning you. And so he's now in my book for the second time, but this time it's for a non-descent.
Yeah. Right. Straight.
Yeah.
Is there a limit to how many descents?
There is indeed.
Yeah, that's going to say.
There is indeed. So I think the best you can get to is something like three from the top of my head,
right.
Where you can actually end up by having a descent and then a normal yellow card. A normal yellow card, red card. Okay, so you get three bites of the cherry.
Okay.
Almost. You know, it's obviously can't go on indefinitely, so hence why there's only two. You only get two goes at it. But I genuinely believe it actually will help players, managers, and officials this. Because let's face it, you know, dissent and a yellow card has always been in the laws of the game. So all this is doing is giving the official another little bit of armoury if he requires it. So you could, you know, you may turn around and say to me, well, if they were doing the job properly in the first place, they could have cautioned them for dissent. I accept that. But this way, what they're trying to do is say, okay, you've been a little naughty, but it's only a 10-minute. Mm-hmm. It's only a 10-minute thing. You know, just keep your mouth shut for the rest of the game. You know, don't open your mouth.
Obviously we watch a lot of football, and say for the first offence, there's usually a warning.
Yes.
They usually like, do that again, you're going in the book.
Yeah.
Is that going to be the same with this?
Absolutely. You know, there's no... With refereeing, it's frustrating as it is for the players as it is for refereeing, because obviously what everybody would like is for me to come into you guys and say, look, here's 500 sheets of things that you can do, and here's the other 499 of things you can't do. That it doesn't work like that. And you know, and I know one of the biggest gripes for players is and they'll call it inconsistency, because they'll have myself as a referee today, we always use this word, or I always use it, it's a tolerance level, okay? And my tolerance level, when I refereed regularly, was always very high, okay? So you may be able to say something to me today, and I may actually just give you a little quip back and get my own back on you, but obviously not in the earshot regularly, I might say something and thought, that's 1-1. However, you may have another referee who rightly... You just give me a little bit, and you go, oh, not having that, that's a yellow card offence. And you're going, hang on, last week I was far worse to Maitland, and now I've just got a blooming caution for just saying a little thing like that. Yeah. But that referee's not wrong. That's the point I'm making, is that that referee, or his tolerance level is here, mine is there. He is not to be criticised because he's done his job properly. Yeah. If anything, I should be the one who maybe should be criticised because I allowed it maybe to get a little bit higher than I should.
He's applied the rules by using his interpretation.
Absolutely correct.
So is there any totting up of the dissents? So will there be a monetary fine? Or?
There is. You know, I mean, the most important thing, I think, from a club perspective and a player perspective is if you get a yellow card sin bin, whereas with any other yellow card, it's currently a £10. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't apply because what they're saying is the time that you spend off is your punishment. So that's the equivalent to £10.
Straight away, the punishment.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. However, you know you can top up 5 cautions in the first part of the season. We'll get you a 1-match ban and a fine. Probably it could be 25. Top of my head. That will apply. So if Dave is notorious now, every referee, they know, here comes Dave again, first 21 minutes guaranteed, he's here, and sure enough, he's got 5.
Get a 10-minute rest.
Five after 3 games. Yeah. The one match automatic ban would come in, and the fine, obviously, of £25. So there is still, you know, if people are being silly about it, I would hope there's still enough deterrent to say, really, is all that worth £25?
Yeah.
And certainly, because you can rack these up far quicker, you could get up to 10. You know, he could have done it within 8 weeks. Yeah. He could be flying. But the punishment then goes up 2 matches. And
So we've talked about maybe the playing point of view and how it's going to, the mechanics of it going to work in the pitch. How are the refs receiving this? Now, you've said this is another, you know, so something in their armoury.
Yes.
Is that how it's being received? Or are they sort of thinking, oh, God, this is something else I'm now going to have to...
Okay, I genuinely think if you were now to go out with a straw poll, I remember I haven't presented, and you would say to referees, what do you think of sin bins? I think the majority now would turn around and say, I don't like it.
Right.
I don't like this idea. Mm. I don't like the idea that we're going to have to do yet another thing, keep control of another thing on a referee. And we're always going to be by ourselves, you know, as I say, just treat a referee over here is always going to be by himself. If he's got any assistance, 4th officials, it's a real bonus.
Yeah.
So it's just another job that we're asking the referee to do and manage. Okay, so I think your initial reaction from the majority will be, don't like it.
Yeah.
Don't like it. And I suppose, and I'll preempt the question, what did I think before I went down to London? I was probably in that same category. I'll be quite honest. I probably thought, why on earth are we doing this? Why are we doing it at this level of football? And then when you've seen what's gone on, you go, you know what? I think this actually could be a positive, and I think it actually will. I think it will. It will, as I've said before, it will certainly help officials. It will certainly help the players and managers, and it's got to encourage people. More importantly, where I'm looking to actually think, you know what, taking up a whistle might not be a bad idea. Yeah. So I think it's got to improve in that respect. I really do. Well, I really do.
We were talking about some of the stats. So it's been on trial in the English FA system for nearly 2 years now. And some of the stats that have been produced by the English FA, it's positive from this Simbin trial, as it were. So we said 25 leagues showed an overall reduction in dissent out of the 31. 38% reduction in dissent across all leagues.
Yep.
72% of players wanted to continue with the scheme. So those of you who have tweeted us or whatever this week saying, questioning the decision, there's nearly 3/4 of the players involved have then said they actually want it to continue.
Yeah.
77% of managers and or coaches wanted to continue with the scheme, which is even higher. And 84% of referees wanted to continue with it, which... almost answers the question I've just asked you.
It absolutely does, and that's why if we go right back to the start of this, I think this information is absolutely critical to it. You know, they have done their homework, if you like. You know, they spent 2 years on this, and the fact that, you know, obviously they've gone out to people who have been involved in this in those leagues I was talking about, to get those responses. You know, the lowest one there, 72%, that's players.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's 72% of players that were interviewed have said, you know what, I like that.
Mm.
That, for me, says it all. Yeah. I mean, I think we'll be honest, we would expect referees to be the highest of that. But you know what, it's not that far ahead. Yeah. And managers, 77%. I think it's fantastic.
84% is a high figure, you know, for anything, really.
Yeah.
So that's 8 out of 10 referees. 8.5 to be precise, questioned have said that they want it. So it'll be interesting to see. Will there be that sort of survey conducted over here? Will there be a let's suck it and see job? Will it be a maybe after a year? Will they have
I'll give you my opinion on what I think will happen. I mean, the good thing about it is that we will have it pre-season.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just rewind a little bit. I was very keen to try and get this in for the two competitions at the end of the season, i.e. the Junior Cup and the Hospital Cup.
Yeah.
I did approach UK about it, but I was politely told that you either are in for the whole lot or you're not. And I accept that. Yeah. I accept that because there's still a lot of work to be done here in that obviously all referees have got to go through this presentation, as have all clubs. So, but the pre-season, I think, is good because it gives the referees, the players, the management time to adapt to what's going to happen. Because let's be honest, it's like any new toy. Yeah, when you get a new toy, you like to use it quite a lot at the start, don't you? Okay? And so I would suggest that maybe we might see a few more in the sin bin at the start, but once it settles down, it will actually manage itself.
Well, that's what you want, isn't it?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
But so the point I was trying to make was, but after this first season, so the end of next season, will there be a review process?
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. We definitely can, because the how it's set up on the system is quite clever. So for a sin bin yellow, it's now a specific entry line on it.
Right.
So we very quickly can actually get the data.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm making these numbers up clearly, but let's say we had 1,000 cautions for the season. And we could actually say, you know, sin bins were 100. You know, so we'll have data to work with. You know, it might be 500. But if that's the point, the data will be there. And absolutely, because we'll be feeding back to the UK, because obviously everybody comes on board. So if we're to follow what they're suggesting could happen all over the UK, England, we will see, I think, a marked decrease of these types of cautions. Which will, you know, be fantastic for the game.
Massively.
Yeah.
Well, as you can imagine, Kevin, this has caused a lot of debate on social media. So when we threw open the question gate yesterday, we've had a bit of a flood, haven't we, Dave?
Certainly have had a few from your favourite club over here as well, from Russian.
So we kick off with a former podcast guest, Dan Hattersley, who's obviously played at a professional level and played in Australia. Yeah. And his question was simply, why bring them in now?
Yeah. Hopefully what I've said prior to this will have helped Dan in there. And again, let me just make it quite clear. It's not a decision that the Isle of Man FA have made. It's a mandatory instruction, so any person in England who's going to be playing grassroots football, and as I said now, you know, step five and six, will be under this sin bin scenario. There is nobody, no club or team have got exemption. It is mandatory. End of.
So I'm presuming this is just me joining the dots here. It will roll out into the League Cup. Will that be for teams below that?
Yes, you're absolutely right. There are, and again, there I think are four cup competitions where it'll be used. I actually think the FA Vars is one of them as well.
Right.
So there are four FA Cup competitions. Interleague is definitely one of them, as will be the under 18.
Youth Cup, yeah.
That will all be in for next season, yeah.
Yeah, great stuff.
Next question then, very much tongue-in-cheek, from Matty Lamb. How long would you have a headache for after refereeing a St George's game on one of their particularly moany days?
Well, you see, that's Matty's just trying to wind me up here, clearly. And I can honestly say that I never had any issue with St George's and any moaning. They're no worse than any other club that I referee, but remember, I haven't refereed for quite some time, so maybe other people have a different view to that. Look, you know, at the end of the day, It's not about referees, first of all. You know, the game's about players and football, and they will go and try their hardest to get any advantage that they possibly can. Now, as a referee, you have it. It's within your gift. I have in a right pocket and a left pocket certain coloured cards which I can use if I want to. So I don't have a lot of sympathy for people who say, oh yeah, but they're doing this. If I show one of these cards and they continue to show it, it'll come out from the other pocket and they'll go down to 10.
Yeah.
If people want to keep going, I keep on showing it until we get down to 6 and we have to walk off.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's a thin line, the game, isn't it? You know, you're looking for any possible advantage you can. And if I can give the referee a bit of the earache and just distract him a little bit, he just might have missed that offside because I was just having a go at Dave there, saying, Dave, I've already sent you to the sin bin. The next thing, there's a goal. And but on a serious note, a referee has the powers to make it as quiet a game as he likes or as a noisy game as he likes.
But will the sin bin help cut down these moany days, as Matty puts it?
I think definitely.
Yeah.
I think definitely, because, you know, and whether you say, well, why does a referee want to use that rather than not show a yellow card? I can't answer that, because clearly he's had the yellow card he set in his pocket for, you know, for a long, long time. But now he's got a little sin bin option. You're going, I think that'll work. And I think it'll work because of the, you know, it's a 10-minute slot. And just to clarify, it's 8 minutes on any other game that's not 90 minutes, okay? But now you're going to have teams saying, I really don't want to play these next 10 minutes. So I think that will really work. I really do.
Well, it's the equivalent of a power play in hockey, isn't it?
It is.
Ice hockey, when you've got that one man advantage. I mean, obviously, rugby's the example I keep using, but I watched the international rugby at the weekend, and at one point, I think one of the Italian or the French players was sin-binned. He ran off. He didn't question the decision. He ran off, right, and went straight on the exercise bike to keep warm.
Yeah.
There wasn't a moment. He obviously knew what he was doing.
Yeah,
and
of course.
It's like, obviously, it's slightly different in rugby. The sin-bin offences are probably more widespread than they are with consent.
Yeah.
But they're so conditioned to it now.
Totally. I'm had this vision now of me having just sin-bin Damon running to a cycle. Yeah. I just don't get it.
Well, no chance. That's never happened in my life.
He'll be saying, oh, it's broke.
I'm just going to have a 10-minute power nap.
Just touch on one thing which is quite interesting, which you mentioned, is how many can you have in a sin-bin? Yeah. Actually, you're probably aware, in the laws of the game, when you go below 7, you have to abandon the game.
Yep.
You don't in this situation. So now you could have a crazy situation here, right? Okay, let me give you a really bizarre example. So Dave's team are putting up a wall, okay? And there's 5 of them in it. And they all decide to have a pop at me, because I'm saying, no, you're not back, you're 10 mile, you're not back. You know, and each one of them go, oh, no, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You can't. So I just go, sin bin. Next thing, Dave's team have got 6 players on the pitch for 10 minutes. Okay, could you imagine though?
Yeah.
Could it happen? Clearly it could. Would it happen? No way.
Yeah.
No way a team's going to get themselves in that scenario. But that's
That's one of the yeah.
FIFA with real players.
Tony Sewell, Jim's manager, and obviously we think we know where he works. But yes. The question, Dave, but he's probably something you would, if you were Simbin, this is what would happen to you, wouldn't it?
100%. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that players can warm up and stuff while they're in the Simbin. But Tony asks, can they have a Co-op energy bar or other shops are available, and a Luxade Sport to help their fitness when in the Simbin?
Absolutely. Absolutely, you know, and this is the whole point I really want to emphasise, you know, it's not going to a naughty step, this is, you know, the punishment is you're spending 10 minutes off the field of play. What's most important from a player's perspective is that he's ready to come back on after that 10 minutes. Mm. So he must be, you know, certainly have the right liquid on board, you know, if he needs a nutrition bar, then absolutely, you know, it's he's got to be right to come back on, and a referee cannot stop anything like that.
Okay.
Mike Williams, Dave.
First question for you. He says, is there sufficient training for refs on the island to help them?
It's a really good question, actually. The answer is, I think we can do a lot more. Mm. And we get training, yes, we do. But again, because we're such a small bunch of individuals, it's trying to get a group of individuals to attend various situations we could put on for them. So I don't think it's... I think it's there. Let's answer the question and say, I think the training is there. Do we utilise it as much as we should do? Definitely not. Mm-hmm. And I think that's partly, you know, with my hat on, one of my many hats, you know, it's one of those you think, ooh, I really could do doing that, but then when am I going to fit that in? And it's that sort of scenario. And before you know it, you find yourself where I've lost another month. And you go, crikey, you know, where did that go to? So I think it's a really good question from Mike. And I think we could definitely do better as a group of individuals, which would need to be led by somebody like myself to do these sort of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mike also asks, can there be an approved process to help players who have been wrongly accused of misconduct?
Okay, there is a process in place, and again, without boring everybody silly about this, I mean, the handbook, the FA handbook is a colossal, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's like, you know, it's a nonsense, probably 500 to 600 page document, which, and it's there because it goes from the, you know, the Premier League all the way, that's what it covers. And in there is a very clear process at all levels of football which you have to follow. Now, you know, we're not going to go into individual cases, clearly, no. But it could be that, you know, somebody has felt a little bit aggrieved on certain situations. And, you know, the process will have been followed, is what I would say. You know, it will have been followed. There's nobody sort of like sitting up there going, oh, well, what should we do on this one and make it up? That really isn't the case. There are very clear guidelines and rules that you have to follow. It's simple as that. You know, if we didn't follow them, the English FA would actually be on top of us very quickly to say, what are you doing? Mm. You can't make your own rules up.
Well, I was just going to say, we were talking about this just before we started recording, but there's no video evidence, is there? You know, there's no... If you think about professional games, all the way down now, even most team, lower league clubs, non-league clubs even have their own TV stations and stuff. There's nothing to reflect on, is there?
No.
We can't all rely on Hattie Vision.
Yeah.
No, and you know what's really interesting about that is again, I don't... I think we're aware that there's been a couple of instances during our season where there has been some potential video evidence. Obviously seen things which everybody's seen, you think, ooh, you know, that possibly maybe was a yellow or a red or whatever. And I actually went out to the English FA to say, you know, the referee on the day didn't see it. Get it? Absolutely. You know, there's mayhem going on in these situations. However, retrospectively, with these lovely little shots that we had, and the answer was no.
Well, I suppose it's one of those, though, which is bizarre when you think about VAR and how it's not used. You can't use it in one instance and then not the other, is it?
Correct. How many games do you have with those?
Yeah,
exactly right. It's a bit like the FA Cup, isn't it?
You know,
so we'll put two on and two off. And what happens?
Exactly. Mike's final question. It's a cracker, this.
It is a belter. Would you like to see Al Maitland follow in your footsteps and become the greatest referee the island has ever seen?
Yeah, I love that question, Mike. Yeah. Do you know what? I mean, there were several reasons why I stopped refereeing actively at the highest level, and one of them, and I'm not blaming him at all, but one of them was obviously my son, because clearly he was coming through inter-senior games. And it was just not right or unfair. More on him than me, because I, at the end of the day, I'm just neutral. Mm. But it's too much pressure. Mm. It's too much pressure. And Al has always said to me, he would never referee. It was the last job going. He would never do that job. And I'll share with you one little story which happened. I think it was last season, or it might be the season before. Anyway, it was an evening game. It was one of these end of season things. It was always the Russian. I was actually going down to I think it assess. It was Matty Shaw in the middle. Anyway, the assistant had to go to hospital. It was an emergency. I was driving down there, and so I arrived. Matty said, oh, forget the assessment, go and run a line. And I'm going, it can't be any problem, can I run a line? You know what I mean? It can't be any problem. So, of course, I'm running this line. And then, lo and behold, June again, I think it was the first half. And next thing, the keeper, the old boys keeper, Sam, clatters into Al after a corner penalty area. And I see Matty Shaw looking over me. I think, well, it's a penalty, but I can't give it. And he gave it. The referee did give it. But he was looking for it. No chance. I digress.
But do you think Al has more of a working of knowledge of referees than maybe the most? Do you think he gives? Do you think he would be more respectful maybe of them?
Al, yes. The short answer is yes. I've always said to Alex, you know, at the end of the day, it's a very passionate game, and once you get on that field, you know, you're getting the red mist and all sorts can
especially in his position as well as a centre back.
Absolutely. And I've said, look, you know, at the end of the day, first of all, you play to the whistle.
Yeah.
You know, especially now, you know, there's very few assistants on these Prem games. Mm. So play the whistle. You know, he might be clearly offside, but you have to think, where is that referee?
Yeah,
you know, he may be just been booted upfield. He's just coming out of the penalty area. He's not going to give it. If he doesn't think, you know, if it's a real close one, well, I don't know. Yeah. I can't give that for sure as an offside. You played your whistle, more importantly. And I say, you know, things will happen on the park where you disagree with the referee. Clearly you will. And I said, of course you can have your say, but so long as you're polite, you know, I mean, not overly, you know, grovelling and all that. But, you know, to say, you know, well, you know, why do you give that? You know, what was the reason for that? A referee generally will tell you. Because what referees are encouraged to do now, this changed quite dramatically, is that a referee now is encouraged to, you know, to tell players, not overly excessive. You know, what you don't want is a running commentary from a referee saying, well, I didn't give that, but I did get, you know, that again goes the other way. But a referee needs to communicate. You know, if you get told, well, I've given that because you pulled his shirt, you still might disagree and think, well, I just had to hold it a little bit. It wasn't that much of the pull. But all right, he told me what it's for. Exactly. At least he hasn't just gone free kick and run away.
Did you see the footage this week in Australia?
Yes. Fantastic footage. Fantastic footage. Yeah.
And he's coming to the Championship next year, isn't
yes.
he?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He's doing a PhD at Liverpool University.
Yeah.
But I thought it was quite funny when one of the, I think it was the captain of one of the teams, went, I'll hopefully see you in the Championship. Well, no, it was great. But that, again, that's it. Okay, I keep saying about rugby, but that happens in rugby all the time. Yeah. And it probably makes players think about what they say to a referee.
Definitely.
Because if they know it's going to be broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, just changing the tact a bit slightly, but they've come out with next season's law changes. Mm. And on this document, the first page of the document re-emphasises the captain's role of it. Saying, you know, as a captain, you know, you have a responsibility here. And it's quite interesting. And again, it's how you speak to a referee. You know, just because you've got a captain's armband, it doesn't give you the right to go blasting in their ear. You know, you still can get your point over in a more controlled way. Because let's face it, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And you know yourself, what's the difference from somebody blasting or someone in a sort of like controlled fashion? You're going to listen more to this guy that's controlled. It's just a human reaction. It's not a favouritism, it's just a natural human reaction.
Next question is from the Under-18s League official account. Tom Turkey, I think, is admin of that. And of course, was in a couple of weeks ago on the podcast you missed, Dave. He said, How far do you agree with the Under-18s League has been successful in keeping youngsters in the game? So a slightly different question.
No, I think definitely. And I think what you have to do is compare to what we had last season.
Yeah.
Yeah? you know, which was, I think, probably the worst ever in Manx football. You know, to only have, what did we end up, was it two in the end that we finished on? Yeah, I think we started with four, it got down to two at the end of the season. You know, and I think that league has been really quite competitive. There's been no crazy scorelines like double figures, you know, which is great. So I think it's been really competitive. Again, it's not decided that league either, which is great because we're on the home run for sure. I think the big game's probably Laxey St George's, which is coming up a couple of weeks, I think. Yeah. But you know, I think definitely to answer this question, I think it's been a real positive and good to see that we had that many teams in it. You know, hopefully we can build on that. Probably the format of it is right as well. The Wednesday night at a bowl under floodlights.
Exactly. Gives people opportunities to do other things.
Yeah.
Will that be a league that Simbin's rolled? How far has the Simbin been rolled?
All the way. So, junior league, you know, and bless them, under six, okay, that's where it goes down to, and let's be honest, you can never say never because you just don't know. No. But it could happen.
Yeah.
And they're obviously, you know, and under sixes really isn't competitive. I guess the most, is it that under eights where they start doing sort of competitive?
Yeah, and then under 12s is where they got regular.
So that's where you and the impact on that is great, of course, because they only play, is it 20, 25 minutes? So they'll be on an 8-minute sim bin. That's a fair percentage of the game.
Yeah,
isn't
it? You know. But they're going to learn at a young age, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the point.
Yeah.
You learn there, hopefully you won't need it in senior football.
Exactly.
Hattie's got a couple of questions, Dave.
Yeah, first one is, what was the highlight of your refereeing career?
I really could go on forever. I've been very fortunate. The game has been very kind to me in the Isle of Man. I've been in the right place. To name just a few, I was very, very lucky to do probably most of the steam packet festivals as they were. Wow. I know they were all called other things, but The biggest highlight for me in the Steam Packet Festival, for my sins, I'm a Preston North End supporter, and Preston played Wrexham in the final of one of these. I can't even remember what year it was. And I remember the guy saying, Bill Kay now, bless him, he said, I want you to do the final. I said, Bill, are you really sure? Because I said, you know, I want to go down and watch it. And so he said, no, you can. I said, do you trust me? He said, absolutely. He said, I know you'll be as honest as that. I thought, fair enough.
Yeah.
And anyway, the only goal of the game was an advantage I played for Wrexham to win it. And I thought, I can't believe I've just done that. That probably was from professional teams. I mean, I'd done the likes of City, Newcastle, etc., which were all great. I probably ended my career. I mean, I'd done all the finals locally. I've been very lucky, as I say, FA Cup finals, which I always believe is a pinnacle for a referee. I know people have different views, but to me, it's the Manx FA Cup final. I've done that three times, and I think that's probably the most that anyone's done it. But just being lucky, being in the right place at the right time, because there's a lot of good referees when I was refereeing, loads of good referees, and still is now. And so there was that FA Cup final. To have three, I think, is fantastic. And then the final one is when I did the Guinness Cup up at Ramsey. That was the final. It was, I think, it was Scotland against Northern Ireland to end. That was sort of like my ending bit to do that, was brilliant. I've been away in FA Vars as well. I could go on forever. Let's stop.
Of course, the highlight was being the linesman at the Old Boys Russian game last season. Yeah.
Too right.
How you also ask, how did you acquire the nickname of the Smiling Assassin?
Oh, it goes back a long, long time. And I don't know if you guys remember Boosh Karoosh, Dave Karoosh.
Yes, yeah.
Did referee's appointments. I remember the player, and I surely won't mind me telling them the story. It was Sir George, it was Peter Peñata. And I think at that time you probably didn't have yellow cards. It was probably, you know, it was one where we were going through the phase of just booking him. And I remember that Boosh was down, I think, just assessing me because I was on my way up. And he said, I'll never forget it. He said it was fantastic because Peter was quite fiery character. Yeah. And obviously, you know, Peter comes over and he's going, and he said, took the notebook out, you know, got Peter's name. And then he said, the biggest grin I've ever seen. I thought Peter might have done something else. But and from that, it was from then that he said, the Smiling Assassin. And it wasn't done deliberately. I mean, obviously, the intention is not to wind players up, because obviously a player doesn't like getting a caution or a send-off. But again, it's what best suits you. And for me, it was, if you relax and that relax, you know, it's a tension situation that I'm not laughing, saying, ha, 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 I've cautioned you. It just came out that, you know what, hey, we've cautioned you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let's not do it again, you know. Yeah, that's how it came about. Good question.
I can't think of a more appropriate nickname either.
Dave Matheson, obviously D&D legend, has sent in a few questions. First one, are you in favour of Braddon's free leagues proposal? He says, if it happens, this means that Braddon's Mark Watterson's discussion of entering a UK league can't happen, as Step 7 requires 14 to 16 teams in the top division.
He also added, didn't he, we are asking each player to vote before voting as a club, which I think is quite refreshing.
It's really interesting. I wonder if we're going to get a Brexit scenario.
Yeah. Well, this is quite, because when I read this question, I thought we'd move conversations we've had on the podcast and just on a Saturday afternoon, that the UK league thing, the step seven. I didn't think there was it didn't require a certain amount of teams in a top flight.
But it does.
It does.
Unfortunately, for people who are looking at three leagues, that it has to have a minimum of 14 in it.
Wow. So that's two. Am I at the moment 12? Yeah, two.
Now that. As he rightly says, then would absolutely kill off the three league. And I think, you know, this is a, and I'm not comparing it to Brexit, but it is a bit like this, because if you talk to people, there are so many differing views on this. I get a feel that there's actually a bit more momentum swinging to the three leagues at the moment, and that's just a general feel of what I've heard people saying. I might be totally wrong.
Well, it's funny you should say, because we had Paul Rose were our last podcast with Rob Slinger and Steve Priestnell, and they had two different views. One was very much for three leagues, and I think it was Steve was like, no, I think two leagues, you've seen how good it has been this season. It's been competitive at the bottom, at the top of both leagues. Yep. So he said, why are we changing it? So they...
And I think that's the point. I think that, and you're going to get that within all clubs.
Yeah.
The majority of clubs, I would suggest. And...
But is it that then? Does this not back up what we were just saying, that maybe it is time for every player to have a vote and a club then take that forward?
And that clearly is a club's decision. I mean, you would hope they would actually go out to the players, the clubs.
It's a big decision, isn't it?
It's huge. Mm-hmm. You know, let's when you look at things that have changed dramatically, that if it happened, would be a dramatic change in Manx football. You know, it absolutely would.
So when is D-Day for this? When's the rules and revision?
Well, there's a rules revision... coming up in the 16th, but it could go on a little bit longer than that. Could you could have a special meeting called, etc. So it might be pre-season. I would suggest a lot. Well, I don't know which way this is going to go. I'll be perfectly honest. I suppose if I'm sitting looking at it, I'm going, well, going to Step 7 football is going to be to the benefit of how many clubs? Is the question?
Yeah.
Going to three leagues, who benefits from that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sitting right on the fence here, clearly, because I think they're the decisions that you're probably looking at. You know, so no disrespect to teams that are in Division Two and the lower half of Division Two, are they really interested about Step 7 football?
No.
So again, if you're looking at how things potentially are going to vote, you could have a split. And remember, for things to go through, is a 2/3 majority. So that brings you back to the norm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. There's lots of interesting discussions to be had. And I hope clubs are discussing
engaging,
it. Yeah. Absolutely. It's important because, I mean, we see time and time again, players or supporters have views and, you know, they need to be heard. And they may be in the minority of that club, which is fine. But so long as they get their say, it's important, I think, because then you shouldn't then be able to turn around and go, oh, yeah, well, we knew that was going to happen and that.
But it's up to the individual, though, isn't it? If you've got a view and you feel that's not being edited, it's up to you to go and speak to the club about it.
Absolutely right. It's a bit like, you know, in the council meeting, at the end of the day, it's not Frank Stennett making a decision in there or Kevin Maitland.
No.
It's the 26 clubs that
Correct.
Sit around that table.
Yeah, and I think people sometimes forget
they
that.
They do.
The next question is, there is a feeling in Manx football, this is again from Dave, that refs seem to be untouchable due to the low numbers. If a player behaves badly, they are fined and suspended. Wrong decisions are understandable. Everyone makes mistakes. However, are the referees pulled up on and reported on?
Yeah, they absolutely are. And I think, again, just to there's probably a myth out there, is because, we've only got, you know, 30 referees currently. They can do anything they want. They absolutely can't. After each game, a club has to mark a referee.
Yeah.
So it's on a system called full time, and they have to score. There's three marks that they have to put in. If they score 60 or below, the club has to write a little paragraph basically of why they underscored below 60. And that will then come to the Football Association and obviously specifically to me as head of the referees. And we will then, or I will then look at it and go, okay, Kevin Maitland got a 50 today from Dave's team, claiming that I was picking on him several times and sin-bidding him. I would look at that just and say, right, okay, you know, it depends what's in that report. You know, there might be somewhere where I go, actually, I don't like the look of this, the content of this report. I need to have a look at this guy. I need to look at Maitland next week because that worries me. You know, he's getting all the basics wrong. You know, and I need to go and have a look at him. So I'm very fortunate to have three or four assessors which I can call on or mentors to say, you know, like Colin Cooler's example. I could say, Colin, would you mind going to have a look at Kevin Maitland next week? Because we've had this report in. He may have just had an unlucky day. You know, he just may have had a bad day. And unfortunately, unlike a player, if he has a bad day in the office, everybody knows about it because they can see he's just completely lost the plot here, this referee. Yeah. And then we would send Colin out for the next week's fixture. He would then do an official report on that referee, and he may come back two ways. He may say, there's no issue with this guy, you know, you're just going to have to put that as a one-off, he's just had a bad game, unfortunately. However, he may say, yeah, we need to look at this fella again, because there was, you know, and they go in and they talk to them, as well as getting this written report that the assessor has done. So to answer Dave's question, there is a process, and no club should ever feel that they can't, because the system's there to be used, it's the process, that they think, well, it's not worth doing because nothing's going to happen. I can assure you, if they mark below that 60 number, it comes to me and I have to look at everyone of that.
You talk about short of referees, is there room to have more assessors? Or does it have to be someone that's reffed in the past?
No, it really doesn't. And you know, it's refereeing, whether assessing, mentoring, assisting, we welcome anybody who would be interested in doing that, and they really don't need to do it week in, week out. You know, I've got guys who referee probably 1 in 2, 1 in 3. No problem whatsoever with that. You know, I'm just pleased to be able to have the services of those individuals. And quite honestly, I'd like to see some ladies come on board now because, you know, Joe Hicks for a long, long time was probably our longest serving lady referee. And we've lost Joe now and we don't have any, which I think is really sad because we got to the stage where we were able to put three ladies on the Ladies FA Cup final, which I thought was...
Laxey, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Lauren Wheeler.
Which I thought was the pinnacle, really. Yeah. And it, you know, unfortunately it didn't grow from there because how nice it would have been for the Ladies League. And particularly to have lady officials on it. And sure, if they want to ref in senior football and junior football, I've got no issue with that. But, you know, even if they just want to do ladies' games, but we just don't seem to have that.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I was watching Millwall Brighton in the FA Cup, and the linesman was the high profile.
Sean Massey.
He does a lot of top flight games.
Well, if you look now, I mean, ladies' football, I mean, that's just got that huge sponsorship, haven't they? You think there's quite a bit of money in there now, that level of football. Yeah. But there is a lot of lady referees now who are coming up through that grade. Yeah. Now, I don't think it'll be long before one hits the Prem.
Yeah, well, there's definitely one in the Bundesliga.
Yes,
there is. And as I say, the women's game, as I've seen on the Alaman FA women's and girls Twitter feed, this is growing all the time. There's 68,000 at Atletico Madrid versus Real Madrid's women's
huge.
So it's massive. Final question from Dave, which is probably
not quite as serious as the previous two. He asks, is the Richard Brandt testimonial the best match you've ever refereed? 8 goals, a Brandt hat-trick, penalty drama, great goals, great players, greatest tackle of all time. He also says, thanks for all you do for men's football.
It actually was a real pleasure. I mean, when Rich Brandt, he said, is there any chance you can come and referee my testimonial game? And I thought, fantastic. It gives me a great chance to put my green jersey on. So I'm out like a flash and bring cards. And I knew Hattie was going to be there filming it as well. And I said to Hattie, Hattie, tell me when you're ready and I'll blow for the song. He said, they never do this at the normal league. I said, I'm professional. and just very quickly on that, it was a great game, actually. It was played in a really good spirit, as you can imagine. I think I think Richard's team was 4-3 down. And I said, oh, crikey, you can't have Richard losing this.
We were 2 minutes ago, I think it was. Keeper came, he came out of his area and clobbered this guy. Was it a free kick from my angle? It was. Others were claiming it not to be. I threw a yellow card up because I thought, I've got to do that. And I literally threw it up and it went up and fell on the floor. So I said, Hattie, cut that bit out. And then from that resulting cross, I think Richie made it 4-4. But it was a really, really great night. It really was.
Well, we echo those sentiments as well. Thanks for all your comments for
Stephen Fox. Union Mills managers coming with some cracking questions, Dave.
First one, regarding the lack of referees and the respect campaign. He says, I've been in the game for many years and see refs telling teams beforehand they will be sent off if players swear at them, but then get a torrent of abuse but no red card is issued. So I have a couple of questions. One, do you think the referees could help more with being stronger on this point?
You see, I don't have any sympathy, and this may sound really harsh, but I don't have any sympathy for a referee who goes into a changing room or tells them on the field of play at the centre that they're going to do this, and if you swear in any shape or form, I'm not saying that's what I said, but say you did, I'm going to show you a red card. And then after 2 minutes, somebody swears and nothing happens. I'm afraid you've now got a big problem on your hands. Maybe because everything that you've said, they clearly say, well, actually, he's not going to do it for that. He's not going to do it for that. We got... Away we go.
Yeah.
So, if referees are doing that, they should carry out. This point that's going in me saying to Dave, hey, Dave, every time you show dissent to me, I'm going to put you in the sin bin. Well, not that many times, only got a few couple of goals.
Yeah.
And then when he argues with me all match, and it's not until the 89th minute when he goes, you know what? Yeah. You can have one of them now.
Yeah.
he's had a laugh, hasn't he? He's
Well,
I think
any hopes of my Max football career ended. I don't think any team will snap me up.
But I think the bottom line to Stephen's, I think it's a great question, but the referee, if he is doing that, he must carry out what he says, otherwise there's no point. If you're not going to, don't have the conversations.
No. Second question from Stephen. He says, if could the rule be brought in that after a club has had two players sent off in a season for swearing, abusing a ref, the club is docked points or fined, or even both?
Wow.
Do you think that would help?
It's a really interesting question, that one. I think... do I think it would... Yeah. Whether you'd get club approval for that would be another matter. I mean, I think that's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I really
do. And it'd be interesting, again, we haven't got stats, but it'd be interesting looking to see how many clubs would fall into that category, if we were to look back.
At the red card.
Yeah, to see actually how many clubs and how many points potentially. I like the idea. There's then a part of you which goes, is that something which you can't do because it's not in the laws of the game or under the competition and that thing? But in principle, it's something which you go, wow, that's worth exploring more, isn't it? Yeah.
And something else I think could be worth exploring more.
Foxy's last question is, do you think a refs course should be part of the FA coaching courses in order to maybe help coaches see it from the refs side?
I think that's a great idea. I really do. I think it is. And you're not going to go in depth like a proper referee, but you can give them enough just to get them that if somebody understands something, it's far better than you go out there not knowing anything that's going on. And to refereeing, that's exactly what happens. Because let's give the prime example here. There's several. I mean, there's like Stewie Morris, Paul Guyver, and obviously Andy Glover, who had just come on the scene new this season. And you speak to all of those guys now and they say, you know what? I never knew any of that. And they're going... I owe a few apologies for over the years of what I've questioned.
I was just going to say to Dave, you probably find this, there's always at least, I'd say, three arguments in a game where there's someone from the sideline or on the pitch is questioned the referee and said, you can't do that, that's not in the rules, and the referee says, yes, it is.
Yeah.
So, as you say, it's simple. A few viewpoints.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. I really do.
Right, so what have we got, you and Kev? Let's look ahead to Saturday's fixtures. A bit of a slim down programme this week because, of course, we've been hit by wet weather the last couple of weeks, haven't we, Dave?
Certainly have, but we've got FA Cup quarterfinals this week.
Yeah, the three remaining ones go ahead this Saturday, fingers crossed, touching wood, all that sort of thing. Obviously, Pilo name's already in the hat. They beat Poro 6-0 in their quarterfinal a couple of weeks ago. But who will be joining them? I presume this is the draws on Saturday night because the semi-finals are set down for next week, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
So the big game probably, Dave, is the one you're going to, Bala Fletcher, Corinthians versus St George's. A lot to live up to this one because the two league fixtures between these two have been 3-3 draws.
Yeah, we've both covered one each, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Both dramatic, to say the least. But yeah, I think this is going to be a good game. Obviously, it remains to be seen. You put in your preview in the Indy today that both teams haven't really played much lately. I know it's a problem across the island, but I think Geordie's played Dafka, didn't they?
Yeah, the start of the month, start of March.
And Corinthians haven't played since
the end of February. So it's going to be, there could be a bit of ring rust to shake off. But I did see Jim Watney in the NSC on Saturday, and the boys, they were going for a session at Bermahague, I think. So they have been ticking over.
Yeah, obviously Sean Doyle's been playing his basketball as well, so he'll be alright. But I think this should be a good game. To be honest, I think it's probably got extra time.
I was going to say, pack your thermos. Yeah, I reckon sandwiches, because it's going to be the extra 30 minutes here.
Yeah, I can see this one going the distance. I think Geordies will just sneak it after extra time, but it honestly wouldn't surprise me if Corinthians won it either.
So. Holders go out, is that what you're
saying? Possibly.
Well, I mean, if you're looking at this one, I mean, first of all, on Corinthians and Old Boys, there's going to be two pitch inspections on those tomorrow morning my good self on the proviso that we can then potentially move them.
Okay.
Because obviously what we can't have now is these games not taking place because it's now getting tight for time, as you rightly say. So obviously... the Old Boys probably is potentially the more tricky pitch with regards to the condition of it, but the good thing is they're playing St Mary's, so bowl would be available
because St Mary's Combyside aren't an option, are they?
Correct. So there's, I don't quite know what the weather is, but that's something that I'll be doing tomorrow morning.
Kevin, that instance, sorry to cut across you, but that's a question it raised in my head a couple of weeks ago. Would St Mary's have first say on the bowl because it's their traditional home pitch, or is it free for all because it's a cup game?
Funny enough, if you think back, it is a free for all. Actually,
whoever gets
the game. But because we were having this conversation for last week, but obviously it was the first time that these were postponed. Previous week, so obviously they are allowed that one. But if Old Boys had turned around and said, you know what, I fancy going to St Mary's, or similarly, if Corinthians had said. And St George had agreed, you know what, let's go and use St Mary's. We could have done it.
Yeah.
We could have done it. But now, obviously, there'll be another venue set up for it.
But so say both, you have your inspection tomorrow, and both pitches are deemed unfit. Who would get first?
So it would be, so Corinthians would be at St George's.
Right.
And then, obviously, Old Boys at St Mary's.
Okay, fair enough. So, call a winner in that one. You've seen a bit of football this year.
I've seen a lot of football. I've seen both teams. I've been really impressed with St George, I have to say, and that's as I have with Corinthians. I've seen them play Russian. It was two different teams almost. And so, I'm with you. I think it's going to go right down to the wire. We've got a top referee in that game, John McCallum. Extra time wouldn't surprise me. I'm really faffing here, aren't I? I am going to go for St George's.
As I say, this, I think I put this in the Hospital Cup is the last shot, really. These two are out of the league contention now of silverware this season. And it would be remarkable if St George's did that this year. You know, we'd all written them off, apart from St George's themselves. So I'm gonna butt the trend and say Corinthians, especially if it's at Bellafetche. Second game, as you say, that Kevin sees Old Boys host St Mary's. St Mary's team that's still on for the treble at this point. Dave?
Yeah, and to be honest... I can't see past the St Mary's win this week. I mean, we talk about Corinthians and Geordies haven't played much. Well, Old Boys have had a tough couple of months, really, in terms of fixtures. Yeah. They haven't been able to find any consistency. But, you know, if they were to turn up on the day with a full-strength team, there's no reason why they can't cause some problems. You know, they've got a very talented squad there. I just think St Mary's, I just think they'll be too strong on the day.
Kevin?
I think Old Boys will be hoping to get the game on at their place for sure, because that'll become a little bit more the leveller for them. St Mary's have the advantage, clearly, because they played the football, you know, having played at the bowl, that's now is working in their favour, because obviously they've got more match game in. Again, I would have to concur. I can only see a St Mary's win on that one.
Yeah, I think that's a full house, because I agree with that. I think St Mary's, as I said in the preview again, and you've just said, they do have the talent in the squad to do it. But St Mary's just seem to have... It's amazing how quick it's come to them. They can grind the results out already, and I think this will be a fairly straightforward win for them. The final cup game on Saturday in the Friends Point FA Cup sees Colby, flying the standard for Division 2, host at bottom of the Premier League, Glaxy. Dave, and this It's got the hallmarks of a cup set, hasn't it?
It has. You know, Cole, you've done great to get this far. I haven't seen much of them play this season.
Top of the form table in Division 2 at the moment.
Absolutely flying. We obviously had the Colby boys in a short while ago.
Yeah.
Confidence is high. They're moving up the table. You know, they will certainly fancy their chances of getting a win in this. Laxey, I watched them play last week against Castletown. And, you know, they belied their position. They played really well. They had the legendary John Palmer in goal.
Yeah.
You know, keeping a clean sheet.
First clean sheet of the season, I think.
Unbelievable.
Which is unreal at the end of March.
Yeah, and, I mean, yes, Castletown were missing a few players. But, you know, Laxey, they played really well. Mm. They've got a great young squad there. We've said it all season. You've got the Walters boys, Stan Manning, Burrows. You know, you've got a lot of good players there. And that win... Okay, it might come too late in terms of the Premier League survival, but it'll give them a boost, and I can see them winning this one.
Kevin? Yeah, I probably echo your sentiments there totally. I think Laxey, when they look at their results through the season, they'll go, you know what, we've been unlucky. But at the end of the day, a league table doesn't lie.
No,
that's the other thing as well. So, you know, I think for Laxey, I think I'm with you. I think probably it's a little bit too late now for survival for them. Technically, it's still possible, but it's probably unlikely. Colby have had a terrific run. There's no doubt about that. So their confidence is going to be way up there. I think it's going to be a close game. I, like you, I think Laxey will just, you know, hopefully for their season, they might say, you know, a semi-final, that ain't too bad, is it?
No. Harry will be there for that one, so there'll be the full multimedia...
Hattie Vision, yeah.
Hattie Vision on Saturday afternoon.
If he's recovered from Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Never
but,
know.
Nobody recovers from Cheltenham.
But I reckon that one could potentially go extra time as well.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
One game in the Canada Life Premier League on Saturday. Russians' final league game of the season. Which is... look at my watch. I don't know why,
the date on there?
I don't know why I looked at my watch. Yeah. I've got the date on it. 20 past one. 23rd of March. And they'll sign up. They'll box it off on Saturday. Against Brown in what should be a win for the Spaniards, shouldn't it, Dave?
Should be, yeah. Obviously, Russian, they've still got a chance of finishing in the top four.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, the games do run out and they've got Corinthians breathing down their necks. So all the Spaniards can do, really, is win and hope other teams drop points. Moran, well, they're effectively safe, really, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they need three more just to rubber stamp it.
Yeah,
so if they win this is their home and host, really.
Yeah, I think Moran have done well lately, obviously. Yeah. They've done really well, got some big results. Whether or not they tip the foot off the gas a little bit this weekend, I don't know.
But Ash Higginbotham's away, I saw from his Instagram.
Is he? Well, that's a big loss for them.
Yeah, that'd be playing to Russian's favour a little bit. Russian obviously haven't had a game for a few weeks.
And I think that's the problem. I think if you're looking at this, you know, if you were... Ordinarily, you go, I can probably only see one result here. Yeah. I don't necessarily think that's the case on this one because Russian have just not played enough football. Moran have continued to play. I think they probably played two or three in this period. So that's the plus point for them.
Yeah.
But then I suppose you look at Russian, if they've continued their training, etc. You know, their only thing that they're looking at now is Hospital Cup, which is away at St Mary's.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got to put in a performance on Saturday here. I would agree with you on paper, it looks as if Russian would probably get it, but remember, Russian got beat by Laxey.
Yeah, and in that Moran pitch is tight. And
yes, it could be a bit of a level.
The long throw artillery from Cam Avery and Sam Cubbin can reduce many of the bigger teams to problems, isn't it? So,
it could be an interesting
game to watch that one. JCK Division 2, full set of fixtures we got? Five games. Still a lot to be decided in that division, Dave.
Yeah, as I put in my preview, the leaders Pulley are not in action this weekend, so it gives Youthy a chance to go top. They only need a point. They'll level on points with Pulley at the top. So, Youthy, they're playing against Douglasson District. They'll be expected to get the points in that one. But, you know,
D&D, they say it every flipping week.
Yeah.
On their day, they can pull a result out, aren't they?
Exactly. They're so enigmatic. So you never know. But yeah, I'm going for a Youthy win in this one.
Youthy win for you, Kev? Or can D&D pull something out of the
back? D&D can certainly do something because you know D&D will always have one or two results in their back pocket where you just didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
And, you know, Saturday could be one of those days, so it's certainly not a gimme for Youthy.
No. Game of the day in that division, arguably for me, is Malou welcome Onken to the Clack Vane.
Yeah, this should be good. Malou is still very much in the battle for promotion.
Yep.
I know that the top two have got a little bit of a cushion, but they've also played more games than everyone. I expect this is going to be tight. Onken, they've been quite inconsistent this season. Effectively, their hopes of a top four finish are over, but it's mathematically still possible. But I imagine that Malou will be too strong on home soil.
Kevin, do you think Onken won't just be turning up to make up the numbers though, will he?
No, definitely not. I mean, they obviously their combination team, which you may touch on at the end, have got something certainly to celebrate with them. So I think the first team will also want to put in a performance for them. I absolutely agree. Onken, really, it's a must-win game for them if they're got any chance of getting into the Paul Henry, and similarly for Malou, they have to keep winning games to make to keep up with the top two. So I think it'll be tight, but I think the Southerners may just edge it.
Yeah, I'm with you there on that one, Kev. Union Mills versus Foxdale. This again, two teams there in the sort of top six, isn't they? Foxdale's season's tailed off a bit for me now, and I think the promotion boat may have sailed there.
Promotion possibly, yeah, but they're still very much in the battle for top four. I think. Again, we mentioned it with teams such as Old Boys and stuff. Obviously, postponements and consistency is a problem. But Foxdale, their last win was against Union Mills. Yeah. They beat them 2-0 in the Cup last month, I think. Yeah. So, you know, they'll be hoping to do the double over them here. I think they will start as favourites. You know, we talk about Jay Chatwood and that. Foxdale have got a very good squad. So have Union Mills. You know, they'll probably be a little bit annoyed with how the first half of the season went for them, but they've certainly got the players there to cause some damage. So it'll be tight, but I think Foxdale will just about match it.
Kev, Gary Moore, obviously a bit of a leveller, especially on a windy day.
Especially on a windy day, yeah. It's always a good test up there. I think it's going to be another really tight game, and I'll just go and sit on the fence on this one.
A draw. Well, we keep forgetting though. It could be a draw. Yeah. I think you could be right there, Kev. Yeah, draw's probably not too far off the mark. Governors Athletic versus Gyms, two of the teams at the foot of the table there, Dave.
Yeah, I think, you know, Gyms starters as favourites. Governors have only won one all season. I don't think they've won at home. Is that what we...
Yeah, I think we deduced that when I was looking at the table details.
This, as far as Governors are concerned, this is one of their best chances to get a home win this season. They may well have targeted this. This will be their last game of the season as well.
Wow.
According to the table in front of me, anyway, they've played 23 games. So, yeah. But Jim's, you know, Tony Sewell's got them playing well. He had that really good spell halfway through the season, and they just need to recapture that a little bit.
Yeah, we got them to the Woods Cup quarters, didn't they?
Yeah, I can't see a Jim's winning this one.
Jim's win, Kev?
I concur. I mean, obviously, for Governors, it's their last game of the season. I'm sure they'd like to go out on the high with it, but I think Jim's will just be too strong.
Final game in JCK Division 2 this Saturday afternoon. Of course, all these kicking off at 2:30, 2 p.m. for the Cup games we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Sees Ramsey welcome Michael United to Ballacloan. Ramsey, of course, still firmly in the promotion mix, and 3 points a must if they want to taste the promised land of Premier League football next season.
Very much so, yeah. And they'll be red-hot favourites for this one. Obviously, Michael are down near the foot of the table with only one win to the name as well. And Ramsey, there is that 7-point gap to the top two, but they've got the game in hand, so they'll just want to get this one out of the way, get a good result, get a few goals in the bag, and set themselves up nicely for the rest of the season.
Home win for this one, Gary?
Yeah, they can't afford any slip ups, Ramsey. They have got to take the 3 points on Saturday.
Yes, and I think it's fairly. If you were doing a coupon, this would definitely be a one, wouldn't it?
Definitely. Yeah.
Right, Dave, my favourite part of the week. The left and right jab that is Combi Corner, and then Dave reads the weather.
You pick it up so much, mate. Yeah. But I have to say, it is a very quiet Combi Corner this week. Obviously, only two games went ahead last week. Both of them were significant ones in Combi 1, though. It's as you were at the top after St Mary's and Peel both recorded 4-1 wins. Leader St Mary's got the better of Douglas Athletic, thanks to goals from Luke Booth, Paddy Cooper, Mikey Hutton and Jamie Skillen, while Lee Ford scored for the Pinks. Billy Kenyak netted twice and was joined on the score sheet by Aaron Castain and Tom Dowland, as Peel saw off Old Boys by the same score. Mike Booth scored for Old Boys. So that basically all leaves St Mary's a point clear heading into the final round of fixtures. Peel got a very tricky game this week away at St George's.
Yep, picked up the form in recent weeks, haven't they?
They certainly have, so that's definitely not a given. St Mary's are not in action, so it's a chance for Peel to put some pressure on them, and they could go top. Yeah, St Mary's have still got to play Old Boys at a date to be confirmed. But yeah, so it could be interesting there at the top.
Is that Peel's last league fixture, or have they got?
Yes, that's their last one of the season, so yeah.
So if they lose, St Mary's win the title?
Yeah, without even kicking a ball. There you go. And the only other note, Kev's already touched on it, Combi 2 this weekend, Onken are at home to Malou. And they're going to be presented with the league trophy
after the match. Yeah, that's a 3 o'clock kickoff. That one to allow the lads from the first team
to get back.
So, and was there no other games? Flipping heck. Right, Dave Reed's weather. What's the chances of some football this week, Dave?
I think it's looking good, to be honest. I know it's pretty dry out there at the moment. Looking good on the weather front. There's only a few patches of rain tomorrow and Friday, and Saturday's going to be nice and sunny.
So we won't have an email from Kev on Saturday morning with lots of peas.
I always look forward to these emails from
Kev. Or the old red. There's another one, bites the dust now.
Didn't get it last week because he had the day off.
No, Simon last week. The video printer being run by someone else. So that's good then, yeah.
It's good news. Hopefully it'll be most matches will survive the weather.
So. Well, we are in spring now, officially.
Officially, yeah. So it just depends, obviously, how the pictures are faring up after the recent weather. But
Well, Kev, thanks for coming in. Thanks for answering all our questions, the many ones for Sinbin. You mentioned that this club, are you going to do some presentations to clubs?
Yeah. I mean, what we got to do? I mean, it's always a busy end, this you know, those cup competitions come to the end, leagues come to the end. We've also got to get in, or I've got to get in. I've got to make sure I present to all clubs on Sinbins. All referees have got to have the presentation on Sinbins. I would also really like to do the presentation on Sinbins to managers and players. I mean, not, you know, a manager and a player from a team, which I would like to do. I think that would be really important. A lot of work to be done. New law changes are in as well. Obviously, I might try and incorporate that as part of it as well, which would be probably quite useful for everyone. So yeah, lots going on in my world.
So if anyone's got any questions, they can drop you a line at the FA.
Totally, absolutely. Great.
Thanks again for coming in, Kev.
Yep, cheers, Kev.
Remember, you can listen to all our back catalogue, which now numbers over 80. Flipping it, we've done that many. Audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer and Google Podcasts.
Until next week.
Bye for now.